J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
And now, to honor America, please join Grammy Award-winning MCA recording artist Meat Loaf as he sings The Star-Spangled Banner.
So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars flew the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so
just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Monday, January 24th, 2022, 289 days remaining in our American democratic system as we have known it. You're at jcontheline.com. Hi, kids. Anybody else suffering from post-traumatic stress syndrome from those football games over the weekend, especially the ones yesterday and especially the one last night? How would you like to be Buffalo sitting there going, we got this, and then you lose the lead, but then you regain it, and you go, all right, we got this. There's only 13 seconds left. What can they do? We found out what they can do. Crazy weekend. A bunch of my teams lost. I'm not in a good mood. They almost all lost. But, however, it's still nice having Patrick Mahomes going on to the next round of the NFL playoffs. I just like the cool stories. You know, when you got a team like Cincinnati, hadn't been in 31 years, and you got Buffalo, you know, those cities are struggling, places like Cincinnati, and especially Buffalo, and it's really all they got. And I'm sort of a softy when it comes to that stuff. And also, it's better stories, I think. I really think it's better stories when you don't have the same names every single year. As much as I wanted to see the Bucks get in to the next round of the playoffs, I also like the idea that there's going to be some fresh names involved in this whole thing. So I sort of like that, too. Funny, when it looked like the Rams were going to lose that game over the weekend, suddenly the cameras couldn't find Stan Kroenke and the disgusting piece of floating manure Kevin Demoff in the owner's box. Suddenly the cameras just couldn't find them. And when they were ahead, it's like, oh, there they are. And you see, Kevin Demoff, you just want to punch him in the throat. I have to tell you, a couple of years ago, I was working at the all sports station in town, one of the all sports stations, and it was coming down to the wire on the whole Rams situation. Are they going to stay? Are they going to leave? And I'd been saying for 2 years prior to that, give up now. The Rams are gone. They're leaving. And people, the sports guys, were all in my face on it. And I'm like, I've been consistent about this for 2 years. They're leaving. They're gone. And it's not like I didn't respect the sports guys, and there's some names that you would recognize involved in this whole thing. And then when they actually did leave, those guys got really mad at me because they don't really see me as a sports guy. They see me as a morning show goofball who was working at the sports station. They didn't really see me as a sports guy. You know why? Because I don't go to the practices, and I don't hang out with the players and the coaches, and I don't hang out with all the other sports guys. And so even though I've been around sports my entire life, and I could give you a dissertation about all the stuff that I've done, all the stuff I've attended, and all the sports stuff that I would put on my resume if I was interested in trying to impress somebody with the whole thing. But, they looked down their noses at me. So when the Rams finally did leave, they're like, all you did was guess. You had a 50-50 chance, and they left. And so you got it right. You were lucky. You had a 50-50 chance of being right, and you did. I go, no, that's not what happened. Because while all this was going on, every once in a while, I would engage with one of these guys. Nobody ever asked me who my sources were. Nobody ever asked me. And they're like, I talked to Kevin Demoff, and I talked to John Shaw, and I talked to the ghost of Georgia Frontier, and they all told me the Rams are staying. I'm like, you don't seem to understand something. I don't think these guys still understand it, that people like Kevin Demoff are there. And if you don't know who Kevin Demoff is, by the way, probably clarify that. You know the David Spade character in the Coneheads movie? And also he used to play that character on Saturday Night Live, the kiss-up guy. You know, that's what Kevin Demoff is. He's there to keep all of us, including the sports guys, he's there to keep them from knowing what's actually going on. That's his job. So the sports guys would say the Rams leaving. Go, no, we're staying. It's his job to lie for Stan Kroenke. That is his purpose in life. You look at his job description, it's like professional liar. And while all that was going on, we had a couple of family friends, one very good family friend, whose daughter worked at Rams Park in a very, very high position over there. And she's like, they're gone. I'm sending out resumes. We all know they're leaving. And I'm like, so you can actually tell? She goes, of course we can tell. So they all hated me because I was right. It wasn't 50-50. I had better sources. You're talking to the guy who's paid to lie, and I'm talking to somebody who's got a job there sending out resumes and packing up her stuff in a box because she knows she's not going to have a job anymore. I'd say that's a little bit better source, but I'll kiss my ass anyhow. Then you had that Tennessee-Cincinnati game on Saturday, and they go to the broadcast booth, and there's Trent Green doing the color commentary. And it occurred to me that Trent Green is like Pete Best. You know, it's like, took you all the way here, and then my leg blew out, and then Kurt Warner got the job, and here I am in the broadcast booth. Oh, by the way, I hope you enjoyed that opening segment there with Meatloaf doing the national anthem. I believe that was 1994, if my memory serves me correctly, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game. And boy, did he hit that out of the park, no pun intended. Speaking of baseball, pretty big day tomorrow. Actually, pretty big day today. A lot of spring training tickets go on sale today at the various ballparks in Florida and Arizona. The big question is, are you wasting your time? And I think you are, because I don't see any indication that they got this lockout thing worked out. And so, fine, you'll have a ticket to a game that isn't going to be played. So I'm not getting too excited about that. But tomorrow, regardless, one way or the other, it's going to be a big day because it is the final year of eligibility for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame for Curt Schilling, Barry Bonds, and Roger Clemens. This is their 10th and final year of eligibility. After that, it would have to go to the Veterans Committee. So there are some people who believe that this was an intentional move on the Baseball Writers Association of America to let these guys twist for 9 years and then finally in the 10th and final year go ahead and vote them in. So we shall see what happens. That will be announced, as I said, tomorrow. Now, I took no joy in having to tell you a couple of months ago when the new Bob Costas HBO show began airing that for the first time ever that I can recall, I was actually critical of something that Bob Costas was involved in. The show, the first couple of episodes have aired on HBO, and they weren't very good. And I was sort of scratching my head going, wow, Bob Costas is churning out something that I really can't recommend. Well, that changed. somewhere along the line here, they have found their voice. And if you get a chance to, they ran it right after Bill Maher. That's part of his contractual obligation, by the way. He said, I want these shows, these Bob Costas back on the record things, to air right after Bill Maher. And so it did over the weekend, and it was absolutely sensational on a bunch of different levels. So if they can do that every time they put out a new edition of this Bob Costas show, then they're back on track. And, you know, sometimes that happens. Look at Stephen Colbert. Stephen Colbert took over, you know, took over the show, and they sucked for most of the first year. And then this thing happened called the presidential election and Donald Trump, and Colbert's been in first place ever since. It's been like 5 years now that Colbert has led the late night TV talk show war, and he never turned around and looked back over his shoulder. He's been number one for like 5 years and by quite a margin. Which is why I'm shaking my head here over this, because Jimmy Fallon's got that new show called, I think it's called That's My Jam, and it's in prime time on Monday nights. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm Jimmy Fallon, I'm pouring every ounce of energy I have into the Tonight Show because it's getting his ass kicked. And then you think to yourself, well, actually something like this might be able to help him, because if people like that thing, you know, That's My Jam, if they're watching in prime time and they start watching that, maybe they will then be inclined to say, maybe I'll check out the Tonight Show and see what Jimmy Fallon is doing. I don't know. But to do an entire primetime show, I don't care who you are, I don't care how many hundreds of people you have helping you out, that still is a tax on your energy. And when your number one area of concern, the Tonight Show, is faltering, and it is, and it has been for a while, I'd be keeping my eye on the ball there. But I don't know. Maybe this is a strategy that'll work. Who knows? But I got to play this for you. This is this Costas thing I was talking about. So they have a roundtable going on. And one of the guys on the roundtable is the former player representative for the NFL. And they're talking about one of the, you know, times when there was a threatened labor action, meaning, you know, a strike or a lockout or something like that. And we had a first, one of the most respected names in sports journalism, squeaky clean Bob Costas, has a first over the weekend. Bob picks up the story.
This comes from an ESPN story written by Don Vanatta and Seth Wickersham. You're the president of the NFLPA, and you and Demoris Smith are involved in negotiations with the owners, one of whom is the former Colt player and now former owner of the Carolina Panthers. And they're talking about putting in a 17th game. And you say, we are not playing 17 games, Jerry. And Jerry Richardson says, we can make you. We're being nice by not saying, fuck you. You have to do it. This is HBL. Dominique, we're being nice by not telling you, fuck you, we're not playing. Richardson, we're being nice by not telling you, fuck you, we'll play with replacement players. Dominique, we're being nice by not telling you, fuck you, good luck filling up stadiums with Ryan Leaf at quarterback. Demoris Smith then says, hey, that's a lot of fuck you. Meeting adjourned. Moving up on 50 years in the business. Finally dropped some F-bombs on the air.
Congratulations.
I always felt like calling him and saying, hey, see, it feels good, doesn't it? Congratulations. Welcome to the club, Bob. The other thing over the weekend, Saturday Night Live. Now, which show is it tonight? Hold on, let me forward ahead to this thing. Okay, it's on Seth Meyers tonight. Seth Meyers is going to have James Austin Johnson. He is one of the new cast members on Saturday Night Live. He does Joe Biden, but he does the best Donald Trump impersonation that I could ever imagine anybody doing. Because you're going to hear this. If you haven't seen this, this is really extraordinary. Because it's one thing to get the voice down. It's one thing to get mannerisms down. He's got everything. He's got all the subtleties, the way Trump sort of, you know, mumbles things after he says them. So he makes a statement, but then he sort of mumbles a different version of what he just said. Plus, the material is good. This is extraordinary. Anyway, you'll be able to see this guy on Seth Meyers tonight, every week on Saturday Night Live, James Austin Johnson. Here's something from the show over the weekend.
Now, talk of the 2024 Republican primary is already heating up, so let's talk to the svelte, muscular, 230-pound gorilla in the room, Donald Trump.
Hello, Laura. Hello,
Lori, it's wonderful to be here. I'm back just like Tiger King 2. You had fun the first time, and now you're like, how are more people from this not in jail yet?
Now, Mr. President, you're out on the trail again, creating controversy with your typical wacko stuff and uncharacteristically reasonable takes on booster shots. Would you like to give our viewers a taste?
I sure would. Let's get today's Wordle. Could we do that, please? Booster, okay, because I made the booster. I made the beautiful vaccine. It's an incredible vaccine. But it's very unfair what's happening with the COVID treatment, okay? White people are being told to get back of line, okay? They're being told back of line. Speaking of white people, John Mayer, you know? John Mayer, he hasn't had a hit in so long, but we love Mayer so much. Body Wonderland, I mean, come on, it was tremendous music. I thought it was tremendous music with Body Wonderland, you know? I'd rather be mayor of anything than be Governor Ron DeSantis. I'd beat him so bad if he went against me, just like I beat Hillary, okay? Because the only Hillary we like is Duff from How I Met Your Father. You know, How I Met Your Father, you know what? It doesn't have the charm and sparkle of, frankly, Mother. But we love Duff, okay? We love Duff. You know, she got her teeth fixed. Now they look like Jordan Almonds. And Lizzie McGuire, you know, they wanted to do a Lizzie McGuire with Hulu, and Disney said no sex. They didn't want the sex. So they went their separate ways, just like Lisa Bonet and Jason Momoa. And let me tell you, Momo is a very big boy. He's so big, he looks like a sexy devil. And the devil wears Prada, and Prada is right next to Tiffany's. Tiffany is my daughter. Daughters is by John Mayer. And I'm going to run through the halls of your high school in 2024 when you reelect Trump. Wordle!
That guy's unbelievable. You know, I go all the way back to the 60s. There was a guy named Vaughn Meter who used to imitate JFK and RFK. And then you go on through, you know, like David Fry and Rich Little. And then fast forward all the way up to like Will Ferrell, you know, who was doing a caricature. He wasn't really doing an imitation. And of course, Frank Caliendo, who did George W. Bush. Alec Baldwin was doing an over the top version of Trump. Daryl Hammond did a pretty good job, by the way. Let's not forget him. So, you know, historically, there have been guys who have done this. I've never heard anything like this. This guy's unbelievable. Again, the name is James Austin Johnson. And every week on Saturday night, he also does Biden. He does a pretty good Biden, too. He's a younger guy, but they, you know, are so good with the makeup on that show. It's pretty incredible. Anyhow, on Seth Meyers tonight, you'll be able to see him there, too.
The A-List Interview with JC and the Morning Show Graham.
Comedian Louis Anderson.
Did you ever get that pothole next to your house filled in? Louis used to talk about this. There was like a pothole and the city of LA wouldn't do anything. And you were actually going to go out there with a sack of like sack crepe once yourself, trying to take a nap or something. A car would go by. It would hit this pothole, would shake the whole neighborhood.
The guys were working on a house roof down the street using tar. And I got them to mix up some stuff and fill that in for me for $100.
For $100?
Yeah. It went on for years. Boom, boom. Boom, 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 boom. And I would just go, I'm going to fix that thing. And finally I did. And then I sold the house.
Yeah, just a few minutes after we filed the podcast on Friday, we got the word on the passing of Louis Anderson. I got to tell you, this was a particularly sweet guy. You know, I've met a lot of people in the show business and entertainment industry who are nice, and then there are people who are just extraordinarily nice, and Louis, by the way, was one of them. Now, he was one of our very early guests on the old KC Morning Zoo. He used to, you know, play the funny bone in places like that. And he would come in, sit with us in the studio, nicest guy in the world. And every time he did the show, and it was many times, every time he did the show, a week later, I'd get a postcard from the road from Louis going, hey, thanks. You know, really had a good time. You know, I'm sitting here in Wichita, Kansas right now, getting ready to go out. I just wanted to drop you a note, blah, blah, blah. I don't know where those cards are. I probably still have them somewhere. But he was such a nice guy. And every time he would come and play St. Louis, place went nuts. The place went crazy. He's from Minnesota, but when it was time to do a Showtime special, they shot the thing at the American Theater downtown in St. Louis. And that show, which was sometime in the early 90s, if my memory serves me correctly, produced one of the weirdest behind-the-scenes stories that I could ever tell you. I'm not sure I've ever told this story before. So if you're familiar with the American Theater, you have, it's like any other place. You've got a mezzanine up top, and then you got the main floor. And in the case of the American Theater, at least then, the first row of seats was practically producing a situation where your knees were up against the stage. I mean, it was really, really close. So when they're shooting a special like that, but they shoot two versions. They shoot like an 8 o'clock show and a 10 o'clock show. Why do they shoot both of them? Well, for editing purposes. The director is sitting there, and if a joke got a bigger laugh in the second show than it did in the first show, they're going to edit that in. But most of the time, they need to have two shows from which to work because of technical issues. They accidentally cut to the wrong camera, or they cut to one shot and there's a very, very bright light that shouldn't be in the shot but does, and it ruins the picture. So this way, they have two shows to work from. They take the best stuff from the first show, the best stuff from the second show. They slap it all together, 1 hour, and there's your Showtime special. So the people putting on the show gave me and my wife at the time two great seats in the first row in the upper deck, and we're looking down. Beautiful. Can't wait for the show to start. I look down, and I happen to notice something that, what is that? And right there in the first row are two about, I would say, 10-year-old, maybe 12-year-old twin boys. And they both have like shaved, real, real cropped blonde haircuts. And especially from where we were up top looking down, it was really funny looking because there's these like two bald heads there in the front row. That was the other nice thing about Louis. He worked clean, so you could take a kid to the show. I'm like, oh, that's nice. Look at those two kids. Look at those great seats. About 10 minutes later, I get a tap on the shoulder. I turn around, and it's one of the executives from the theater, a guy I've known for years. He goes, come on with me. I'm like, where are we going? He goes, grab your wife, grab all your stuff, come with me. I'm like, all right. And he leads me all the way downstairs. And as we're walking, he explains to me that the director sitting in the trunk outside is like, you got to get those two little kids out of there because they're here for the early show. And you always have a reverse camera. A reverse is the camera that is actually behind Louis on the stage. So every once in a while, you've seen this before where they will cut to a shot and you'll see what it looks like from behind the stage, behind Louis looking out into the audience. And you can see the first few rows of the crowd. And the director is like, my shots won't match up. These two little boys are sitting there with the blonde crew cuts. They're gonna ruin my reverse shots here as I try to edit this thing at the end. You can't have those two kids in that front row. Give them some other seats, but get them out of the front row. So what they did is they put these two little boys and their family up in our old seats in the upper deck in the mezzanine there, and they brought me down and my wife, and they put us in the first row. Well, somebody at the theater sees this, and what do? They go running right to the post-dispatch, and the post-dispatch following Monday morning prints this completely bogus story about how I kicked out two little boys from their front row seats and took the seats myself. Like I would have that kind of power, that kind of clout anyhow, right? Completely ignoring what actually happened. You know, apparently not even checking on the story, not even asking anybody why it happened or how this came to be. And when you start thinking to yourself, why do so many people hate J.C. Corcoran in St. Louis? It's stuff like this. As Curly would say, I'm a victim of circumstance. So I told Louis that story a couple of weeks later, and he laughed so hard. Well, fast forward now, like, I don't know, 30 years, and I'm down in Florida playing spring baseball. And this was just last year. And I'm getting to know all the players on my team, all these new guys. Half the team is Cuban, by the way. It's really funny. I said to somebody, I got a catcher named Juan. They took him out halfway through the game because it was so hot. And they brought in another catcher, and his name was Juan Too, the old Juan Too. So my manager says, oh, you get along with Jeff. You guys, you know, both, comedy guys. Jeff is a stand-up comedian. I'm like, oh, hi, Jeff. How you doing? I'm JC. He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm like, where are you from? He goes, Minnesota. I'm like, Minnesota. I said, you know, Louis Anderson? He goes, Louis is one of my best friends. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I know Louis. I've known Louis for a long time, blah, 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 blah. And the guy's looking at me like, sure you do. Sure you do. And I was like, no, honest to God, call him after the game. Call him when you get home and say, you know, ask him whether you know this guy. And so the next week, Jeff, the guy's name, the center fielder, comes back. His attitude is completely different. He's being so nice to me because he said, yeah, I called Louis. He's like, oh, yeah, I love JC. So it was really sad to see him go. He had such a troubled life. You know, he grew up dirt poor, and I mean dirt. dirt poor in Minneapolis, and had all these brothers and sisters. I think it was like a family of 11 or something like that. And the father drank, and the mother was an enabler. And, you know, he worked as a youth counselor before he got into comedy, and he had an incredible soft side and a sweet, just the sweetest guy you ever want to meet. And so it's with a heavy heart we say so long to our pal Louis Anderson. Speaking of famous people from St. Louis, that John Hamm commercial for Apple TV Plus was hilarious. They were running it during the football game. I hope you got a chance to see that. Adele's last-minute postponement of her Vegas residency resulted in her FaceTiming fans who are at the venue. She personally apologized and offered free merchandise and even a meet-and-greet. That's what these fans of Adele need. More reasons to cry. All right, late night tonight, Tiffany Haddish and Paris Hilton with Jimmy Fallon. Kimmel's got Lady Gaga and Jake Tapper from CNN. Kristen Stewart with Colbert. David Arquette shows up with James Corden and James Austin Johnson, as we said, the Trump impersonator, on with Seth Meyers tonight. This is amazing. Think about this for a minute. Almost half the people watching Seinfeld on Netflix were either children or not even born yet when it officially aired. Birthdays today: Andy from The Office, Ed Helms, 48, Matthew Lillard, Shaggy in the Scooby-Doo movies, 52, Mary Lou Retton, who told me in an interview that I did with her at the Galleria, I still remember this, back in the 90s, that she had won a gold medal before she had had her first period. She volunteered that story, by the way. I didn't ask her, hey, did you win a gold medal before you had your first? Yeah, she just offered it up. 54 today. Actress Nastassia Kinski from Cat People, 61. Yakov Smirnoff. Oh, the stories I could tell you about him, too. Working with him. We'll have to get that on the air one of these days. What a country. 71 today. Aaron Neville. Tell it like it is. 81. Neil Diamond. Nancy, wherever you are. Gal I dated back in the, it was like 99, 2000 in there. A lawyer from St. Louis, and she loved Neil Diamond. 81 today. Ray Stevens, The Streak, 83. The world changed permanently 38 years ago today when Steve Jobs unveiled the Macintosh personal computer. 38 years ago today, 1984. And La La Land, 5 years ago today, tied the record for the most Oscar nominations with 14. The next month, it won 6 of those Oscars and suffered an embarrassing moment where it was wrongly announced as the Best Picture winner. In one of his last interviews before he died, Meatloaf said he was through with COVID restrictions. He said, and this is the quote, "If I die, I die, but I'm not going to be controlled," end quote. TMZ reporting that he did indeed die of COVID. A woman fell out of a third-story window in Japan on Friday and crashed into two men below. She'd been looking out of her window at another man who had just fallen from the roof of the building. Somehow, everybody survived. A Michigan woman found an email in her spam folder saying she won the lottery for $3 million and it turned out to be legit. She logged into her official lottery account, confirmed it, and claimed the prize. A woman's story about her boyfriend's very weird sleeping habit is going viral on TikTok. She stayed at his place for the first time and found out that he prefers sleeping on a nest of clothing instead of using a bed. Reminds me of that line in When Harry Met Sally, when Bruno Kirby is in bed with Princess Leia and promise me I'll never have to be out there again. And she says, "You'll never have to be out there again." A Texas woman arrested for allegedly trying to purchase somebody else's child at a Walmart checkout. She reportedly offered $250,000 for the kid, was rejected, and then upped the offer to $500,000. A 22-month-old toddler in New Jersey was playing with somebody's mobile device and racked up a Walmart bill for almost $2,000. The family didn't realize anything was wrong until the packages started showing up. And sad news from Spain, a 34-year-old man died after being trapped under an avalanche of carrots. That sounds like a good place to stop. The JC Corcoran podcast is in the can for Monday, January 24th, 2022, 289 days remaining in our American system of government as we have known it. We post every weekday morning right about 7 o'clock St. Louis time. It's absolutely free. If you want to binge, you can do that too, because we archive everything. We only do politics when it's absolutely unavoidable. And you can email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. On Facebook, it's The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great day. Stay warm. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.